Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
O Lord, my God, thou searchest me. My heart and mind are known to thee. Nothing is hidden from thy eyes. When I sit down and when I rise, and from afar thou art discerning my thoughts and hopes, my secret yearning.
You can start in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, granted by the same Spirit may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us.
Saint Joseph.
Pray for us.
Saint Ignatius.
Pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so this second session will be dedicated to basic ideas, prayer, and principle and foundation. So, prayer, a prayer method. So our course is constructed on three pillars. You might call it a tripod. First is the presentation, which normally is a one-hour presentation. The first is a little bit longer to cover a lot of material we have to cover. Then next week after the talk, you're going to be dividing into groups, and you're going to have group sharing. Each of you will share 2 or 3 minutes. How did God seem to speak to you in one of your meditations? That will be enriching the rest of the group. And you'll be given a facilitator that will help you to be able to express yourself on one of your meditations. And the third part of the tripod would be the most important, and it's your prayer period. Okay? So when we talk about that now, is your prayer time, and we like to call this the holy hour. And not the happy hour, but the holy hour. Well, it could be a happy holy hour, but it has to be a holy hour, okay? We want all of you to try to give the Lord with generosity, with magnanimity, give the Lord an hour a day, okay? Give the Lord an hour a day. And this expression I take from one of my favorites, Fulton Sheen. Okay? You ever hear of Fulton Sheen?
Yes.
Some of you yes, some of you no. Okay? Fulton Sheen. Okay? Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen was probably the greatest preacher in the world last century. Okay? I say in the world. He was the first tele-evangelist, spoke on the radio. I met him once before he died. No, he died in the late 70s. No? And he had his radio program, he had his TV program, and one of the most popular men in the world. Actually, Milton Berle was a very famous comedian. He was second to Fulton Sheen. He called him Uncle Milty, he called him, okay? Milton Berle was a very famous comedian before most of you were even born, but the older ones, you probably remember him, no? But he was eclipsed by Fulton Sheen. He had, you know, maybe 50 million followers every time he'd have his program on back in the 50s and 60s. Now he said this, the secret to my influence on people is the hour of power.
Yeah.
The hour of power. The origin of this was something that happened in China that deeply influenced him. There was a little girl, maybe about 12 years old, in communist China that would pray an hour in front of the Blessed Sacrament. So on one occasion, she's praying and the communist soldiers, they barge into the church with their rifles. They start to spray bullets in the church. And she's there and they're not even aware that this little girl is there. And some of the bullets, they rip into the tabernacle, rip the tabernacle door off, and they pelt the ciborium where you had the hosts. And then the hosts were scattered on the floor. 34 of them. Yeah. So the following day she comes back to make her holy hour. After that holy hour she bows down and she laps up the host with her tongue. She does this for a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And then she's there, there's only one host left. And every day she made a holy hour in front of the host on the ground. And finally, she laps up the last host and the soldiers rush in right after that. This time they see her. One of the soldiers with his rifle, with the butt of his rifle, bludgeons her to death.
My goodness. Yeah.
And Fulton Sheen, hearing of this, says, well, if this girl was able to sacrifice her life for the Blessed Sacrament, why can I, in free America, not give an hour to the Lord? So from that time on, he made his holy hour every day. And he said he never missed it for more than 50 years. And at the end of his life, he was Archbishop of Rochester, New York. Okay? Rochester, New York. He retired at 75 because the bishop sent in his letter of demission at 75. That was accepted. And the last few years of his life, he dedicated himself to what? Preaching retreats to probably the most important group of people. According to St. Anthony Mary Claret, the most difficult to convert, priests and bishops. Yep. Yeah. The hardest nuts to crack, huh? Corwin LaCour in Dublin, Ireland, the one in Washington, D.C. You can get it online. And I'll give you a summary of what he would say in all of his retreats to priests and bishops. He'd say, look, when you preach and teach, sometimes people listen to you, sometimes they don't. When I preach and teach, everyone listens. And it's because of the hour of power. I'm anointed. The hour of power. And he would say to the priests and bishops, okay, you're on retreat with me now. If you do not make the decision to make a holy hour, this retreat is a dismal failure. Point blank. You have to make the decision to make a holy hour. This coming Tuesday, 11 seminarians of LA are coming to Father Broom. I'm going to give them a retreat. Guess what I'm going to preach? Hey, they're the future. They're going to be your future priests. They asked me to give them the retreat. No baloney. And a good number of them are there in the seminary because they've done this program, okay? Yep. Through this program, they were given the light to reflect upon their vocation, and they've decided they want to become a priest, but through this program. Now, a lot of young men that have vocation, but unless they stop to pray and think, they're never going to hear God's voice. God's voice is heard in silence, as was in the case of Ignatius. So give this hour. You have to decide right now to give this hour to the Lord. Some of you might, who are the new ones here, that some have done the exercises, but a lot of you are new people, you're going to think, an hour? That's too much. We have a New York word, baloney. Well, that's malarkey. And there's another one, okay? I think there's a lot of baloney, a lot of malarkey. You can do it. How easy it is for us to maybe sit in front of the TV or our iPad and spend an hour or 2 hours, no? Yep. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's a question of priorities. You want to become saints. You have to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Mm-hmm. And also on a human level, you love someone, you most of you are married, you love someone, you want to spend the person that you'll spend time with the person that you love, right? You can establish a good relationship with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, or the person you really love. You never spend time with them. Hmm? Really, the expression, I don't have time, really doesn't have meaning. You really should be defined as, I don't have time for that. Because we all have 24 hours. And it all depends on what is our priority. Is it going to be the TV? Is it going to be the iPad? Is it going to be baseball? Is it going to be basketball? Is it going to be music? Is it going to be, you know, spending time chismos on the phone with your girlfriend? It's a matter of priority. So we want to give God, we don't want to give God the leftovers. Like Cain and Abel. Remember Cain and Abel? Mm-hmm. Who are you, Cain or Abel? Probably your name is Cain Abel, huh? Let's cut off the prefix and just stick with Abel, huh? Enable yourself to be able, okay? Give God your best. And you're going to see the way we've set it up. An hour, it's really not going to be hard to think you do an hour because we're going to give you a lot. We're going to give you an artistic picture. We're going to give you a biblical verse. We're going to give you a commentary. So we're going to give you enough. And it's just a matter of you of diving into the infinite abyss of God's love for you. It's like a poetic image, huh? So let's talk about, well, how do you make this holy hour? Not happy hour, but holy hour, okay? How do you make it? I like to respond the way you would do a literary critique if you study literature. Okay. When? Where? Why? And how? Good way to analyze a literary critique. Okay. When? Where? Why? And how? Okay, when? You get 24 hours. But I would strongly encourage you to do your holy hour as early as possible. And I'll tell you the reasons. First, Mark chapter 1. You ever read Mark chapter 1? It comes before Mark chapter 2. Okay. Okay. Mark chapter 1 is a tip. It gives you a typical day in the life of Christ. Typical day. Now the verse I like to highlight is it says that Jesus got up way before dawn and was absorbed in prayer. What does that mean, way before dawn? When is way before dawn? 6, nah.
4.
Okay, let's say 4:30, okay?
Okay.
6, that's late.
Yeah,
6 already, though. The sun is already out here in California. So way before dawn, and he was absorbed in prayer. There's our model. He's the way, the truth, and the life. Second reason, I take from St. Faustina and the diary. St. Faustina, the diary, says that she noticed in her own life, when she put off her prayer to later, either she didn't do it or she did it poorly. Here's a great saint. And I would say the same thing to you as well as myself. If I put it off later, I might do it, but I might not do it. And if I do it, I'm going to be distracted or tired. Fulton Sheen, by the way, says that don't forget, before your holy hour, you should have your first cup of coffee, okay?
That's a good idea.
Otherwise, you're going to be agreeing with everything you read. It's called the yo-yo effect, huh? These are yo-yos, huh? And the third reason why, I don't know if you agree with me on this, but at least in my life, life, maybe a priest is different, is constant spiritual warfare. Maybe for you life is a piece of cake, but I find life to be a struggle. Life is great, but it's a constant battle against the devil, the flesh, and the world. It's constant combat. So I do the holy hour to prepare me for the battle of the day. Yep. I don't have to have an hour before I go to bed. I can fall asleep by myself. I mean, but getting an hour to prime me up, to fight the good fight, to run the good race, to box for Christ, I need an hour. And for me, it's about an hour and a half. Because an hour is not enough. For me, 5:45 to about 7. Give the good block of time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Yeah, yeah. And it's a habit. And I don't depend upon feelings. No. It's an interesting story of this this great man that was writing in his diary what he experienced in his prayer. And he was a good man, and was really faithful. After he finished his holy hour, he'd write down the word nada. Do you know what nada means?
Nothing.
So he wrote down again, nada. This happened for a whole 2 weeks, but he was faithful. Okay, the name of this man is St. John of the Cross. Yep.
We start with bringing it down.
The point I'm making is this, is that when he was very deep, he's known as the mystical doctor of the church. So God was allowing him to go through a point where he was praying, but he didn't really seem to experience anything, but he was super faithful. Now that's not going to happen to you people right away. None of you are John the Cross yet. Mother Teresa of Calcutta went through 50 years of the dark night of the soul. When she started the Missionaries of Charity, that's documented. Maybe some of you saw the movie The Letters. No? Mm-hmm. You got to see it. You get the DVD, The Letters, which shows Mother Teresa going through the dark night of the soul. Basically, the last 50 years of her life, she lived to be, 84, when she started the MCs, God allowed her to go through. Now, I'm going to pray that you don't go through that now because you're not strong enough. No? But my point is this. Got to be faithful. Got to be faithful. How many here are married? Don't be ashamed. Okay? Don't be ashamed. No. Did you say these words? I promise to be faithful in good times and bad.
Yes.
Health and in sickness.
Yes.
Riches and poverty?
Yes.
Until death do you part?
Yes.
You made a promise, right?
Yes.
Well, this course is making a promise of your love to Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, you like the parallel there, the analogy? Promise to be faithful to your beloved. Well, Christ loves you much more. Eugene Boylan, the tremendous lover, right? Yep. He's the one that loves us most. We've got to be faithful to him. And there's no way we're going to be faithful to our Lord. We've got to give him time. And it's got to be got to be length of time, and it's got to be quality time. No way you're really going to get to know someone, love the person, if it's just, come and go, no? Hey, like the Beatles, no? I say yes, you say no, you say go, and they say no. Hello, goodbye. Hello, goodbye. Hello, goodbye. I don't know why you say hello, I say goodbye. You say yes, I say no, you say go, and I say no, ho, ho, ho. You laugh at that, but that's our society. Everything is quick. It's microwave, no? Now, the Beatles, they're prophets. If you listen to their song, they're prophesying what's happening now, okay? Or Harry Chapin, the Cat in the Cradle. And we don't have time for each other. Mm-hmm. Ever hear the one, the Cat in the Cradle by Harry Chapin?
Yeah.
It's a great one. The father never has time for his son.
Yeah.
And the son gets married, and then he doesn't have time for his son also. That's the American society. They get the pulse of what's happening in the American culture. And these exercises are designed to help us to slow down and spend time with God. The American society is known for activism, horizontalism, Marthaism, Pope Leo XIII, Americanism. We become workaholics.
Yes.
Remember Martha and Mary? Martha, 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 you're worried about many things. Mary's chosen the best part. She's not going to be deprived of it. Yeah. We're called to be a little bit of Mary now. So you're entering into 10 weeks of retreat, okay? Starting today. This is a 10-week retreat with the Lord and the Blessed Mother and with our patron saint, Saint Ignatius. Okay, so hopefully I've convinced you that if you can, do it early. If you can, do it early. Okay, now, where? Okay, the ideal place is to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Mm-hmm. Pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. There's a movie that came out about 3 years ago. I forget the title. It's this Afro-American woman that's praying in her closet.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great movie, right? The War Room. No? And I loved it, but I was thinking, I don't want to pray in my closet. I want to pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I mean, she prayed well. She had her Bible. She was very spontaneous. She taught the other woman to be converted, no? And that's what we're aiming at, but we've got something better than that. We got the Word, but also we got the sacrament, okay? So if you can, pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I've got a brilliant idea. I'll tell you next week.
Oh. No.
I'll tell you now. Kill two birds with one stone. Ready? You're going to love it. We open up our church every morning at 4:45.
You do?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you're welcome to come. And there's room for you, okay? Yeah. We open up at 4:45, 4:50 every morning. And you are welcome to come. And we got the tabernacle waiting for you. So you arrive at 4:50. You do an hour and 10 minutes. And listen, at 6 o'clock, we've got our first Mass for you. Wow. How good God is, no? So see you tomorrow at 4:45, okay? So by 6:25, we'll have made your holy hour, participate in Mass, receive Holy Communion, all by 6:25 tomorrow morning.
Wow.
So see you tomorrow at 4:40. Oh, hey, you heard her. Okay, good.
You will.
4:45, 4:50, doors are open. You got the beautiful Church of St. Peter's Nell. Jesus says, come to me, all of you are weary. Okay? Now I'll give you rest. Where, when, why? Why? Because God wants you to become a saint. Amen?
Amen.
Good enough? Because God wants you to become a saint. Not mediocre, but a saint. In your sanctity, did you notice when I spoke about the story of the three saints, how one saint helped another one become a saint? But were not for Ignatius, you wouldn't have Xavier and St. Peter Fabre. One influenced the other. You're called to help others to become saints. Yeah, you can do it. As the poet says, no one is an island unto himself, no? Okay? None of us are islands, right? We influence other people. Okay, now how about how? So I'm going to give you a prayer method. Now, over the past year, I've just been very captivated by a document of Pope Benedict the 16th, and he wrote a document. It's called Verbum Domini. You people are polyglots, are you not? Mm-hmm. You know what a polyglot is? Someone who knows more than one language, no? When they said in Rome, the French Canadians said, you know what a polyglot is? Uh-oh. It would be one who knows more than one language. And they'd always joking around with the Americans, you know what a monoglot is? An American, no? It's more difficult for us to pick up the language than the French Canadians, no? Okay, Verbum Domini means word of the Lord. And the Holy Father invites us to really get to know the riches of Scripture, and he gives us an excellent method. And that method is a classical method through the centuries, and it's called Lectio Divina. You ever heard that? Lectio Divina. Okay, let me give you, and then he gives you five steps that you can utilize this as a method. A method is not an end, it's a means. You know your philosophy, okay? It's a means by which we arrive at union with Christ. And here are the words we have. Lectio, meditatio, contemplatio, oratio, actio, transformatio. Amen? Okay, could you repeat those? You were not listening. You didn't have your cup of coffee in the break, huh? Okay, I'll go through them. Now, this is a method. So when you got your material, you can use these ideas of the Pope, which is not original from Pope Benedict XVI. This has been in the Catholic tradition for hundreds of years. Lectio means you got to read. You got to read. So we're going to be giving you, every meditation we're going to be giving you, a Bible text and my commentary. And this week we're going to be giving you Principle and Foundation, which is about 10 words, which gives the whole purpose of why we're here in this world. Okay, meditatio. You have the word to meditate. Think spiritually and seriously about the truth that's given to you. Spiritually and seriously. In imitation of Blessed Mother, who pondered the Word of God in her heart. The Greek would be ruminate. Ruminate is what a cow does. Chewing the cud, okay? Chewing the cud. Ever see a cow chewing the cud? You think about your son when he's chewing these cornflakes, okay? or the raisin bran, okay? Chewing, okay? Thinking about it seriously. And then you've got contemplatio. Contemplation, it means utilizing your imagination. Yeah. We all have an imagination. And either we use our imagination for good or for bad. We use it for good or for bad. You could be imagining, okay, I've had a fight with my husband, I'll think about my ex-boyfriend. That's called an adulterous daydream. It is. Yeah, using it for something, you know it's wrong. But using it for, you imagine you're sitting at the table with Jesus and Mary at the wedding feast of Cana. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen.
That's very good. The wine was good, but the company was even better. Amen, huh?
Amen.
Yeah. The wine was great, but being with Jesus and Mary, a billion times more important than the wine. The water turned into wine. Yeah.
And good wine.
Yes. But all of you have the capacity, as Aristotle would say, the potentiality to contemplate, but you have to be trained. Teresa of Avila calls our imagination la loca de la casa.
Oh, yeah.
What does that mean, loca de la casa?
The crazy of the house.
The crazy lady of the house, okay? La loca de la casa. Not pollo loco, but a loca de la casa. No. Pollo loco, no.
No.
So it has to be trained, and this course is going to help us to train our imagination. St. Louis de Montfort says, we pray to Mary to check our wandering imagination. I like that. Our imagination can wander very easily. Okay, then after contemplatio, oratio. Oratio, what's that?
Pray.
Open up your heart and talk to God. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Mary. Talk to God the Father. Talk to the Holy Spirit. My last article that was published on Catholic Exchange, I checked it out last night, you got 1.8K likes, so not bad. Okay? And then people share it, no? And my article was on the Holy Spirit. Maybe read it, no? I thought it was pretty well written. I write a lot of articles and I write books, and I really feel writing short 1,500 word articles, people can read that in 5 minutes and they got a good concept to take with them the whole week. So you utilize the oración, talk to God. Use your own words. You know, you don't have to be Shakespearean English to be able to communicate. Sometimes the best prayer is, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I thank you. And one of the prayers that I say very often, it's a four-letter word, but a good word, help! Yes, when I saw those teenagers coming in to teach them catechism, a new program. Help! Ever meet a teenager? No? They're challenging, aren't they? No? Yeah. Oratio. Pray. And then after oratio, axio. Lights, camera, action, right? Action. In other words, put it into practice. Put it into practice. I mean, you encounter God, now bring that goodness that you receive to others. The best example would be Mary. Annunciation, visitation. Annunciation, contemplation. Visitation, action. Mary is our model. Amen?
Amen.
You like it?
Yes.
Annunciation, Mary was absorbed in contemplation. Dialogue with God through the Archangel Gabriel. And then visitation, Mary brings the fruit. She brings Christ, who's within her heart, to St. Elizabeth, thereby sanctifying John the Baptist in the womb through the Word of Mary and the silent presence of the Verbum Divinum. Yep. St. Augustine. Then I've added a baker's dozen. You got those five, but I add my own. Hopefully Pope Benedict won't get angry at me, no? And I use the word transformatio.
Transformatio.
Transformation. So if we're going to do that, we're going to be transformed. And one of your favorite biblical passages, Sandro, is this. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Amen? No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. We're transformed. There's a phrase in Spanish, dime con quien anda te digo quien eres. ¿Lo sabes? Dime con quien anda te digo quien eres. ¿No, Daniel? Tell me with whom you're associate, and I'll tell you who you are. You hang around with cholas, you're going to be a chola. You hang around with holy people, it's going to rub off on you, huh? It rubs off on us. So there you have a prayer method. You like it?
Yes.
So we're going to be giving you every week 7 biblical passages, and then you just have to dive in and utilize these steps to help you to connect with Christ. So one other thing has to be said. At the end of your prayer period, you have to pull out your pen, and you're going to be writing your spiritual diary. We call it revision. Okay, you have to do what's called your revision. You are experts in Spanish, in English. This is a compound word. Here's the prefix, okay? Revision, okay? It means to see again. That's what it means. Huh? The breakdown of the word, huh? Revision, okay? So you revisit your holy hour, then you write down, how did God speak to you? Your lights, your consolation, your desolation, your insights. What was the message that God gave to you? So every time, you're going to have a personal interview with Jesus Christ and His Mother Mary. Amen? You got to look forward to that, eh? You're going to be meeting the Creator of the universe every time you make your holy hour. What could be better than that? Then you write down. The next week when you come together, you're going to be breaking up into several groups. You're going to be sharing one of those encounters you had with God. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, finally, PNF. Okay? What's PNF? It's not Peter and Francis, but rather it's principle and foundation. Principle and foundation. So you're going to be given the Ignatian text, which is number 23 of the Ignatian text. It's about 100 words. And you're going to be reading that before, at the start of all your meditations. And basically, principle and foundation is this. We all have a philosophy of life. Many people have wrong philosophies of life. And I mentioned them an hour and a half ago. Materialism, okay? Consumerism. Hedonism. Moral relativism. Agnosticism. Atheism. These are all philosophies of life, but they're erroneous. Okay, they're wrong. They're wrong. People are not aware of it, but we know it by doing the exercises. Now, St. Augustine says this. Everyone wants to be happy. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
Do any of you work or used to work?
Yes.
So when you go to work and you work, everyone is really so happy at work, right? They're jumping for joy. They give you big, you know, a clown smile and a hug, and they're quoting biblical passages, right? No, at the work world, what do you get? You got chismosas, you got backbiters, you got angry people, you got corajudos, you got these angry people, you got people that are lying, they're cutthroats. No, it's tough. It's tough. So you have, it's everything but happy. Why is it that everyone wants to be happy, yet so many people that are sad? And I'll tell you by means of a story I heard from a Protestant pastor. You know, you can't drink if you're a Protestant. A Baptist, you can't. That's a sin. We believe you can drink with moderation. So he was preaching out against drinking. He said, if I had all the beer in the world, I'd throw it in the river. If I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd throw it in the river. If I had all the vodka in the world, I would throw it in the river. So he sits down, and the choir master gets up and says, for our closing hymn, we will sing, Let Us Go to the River Joyfully. Thought you'd like that one. Let us go to the river joyfully. Okay, now the reason why we're not happy is because we're looking for joy in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. Yep. And never confuse, pleasure and joy are two different concepts. You can buy pleasure. Huh? You can buy it. Mm-hmm. You can buy pleasure. Mm-hmm. You can go and buy pizza and beer, go to Baskin Robbins, huh? But you cannot buy joy. Joy comes from God. And that's free of charge in these exercises. You can be the most joyful people in the world if you want to be. It's free. It's gratis. And that brings us to principle foundation. Why are we created? You are created to praise God. To reverence God. To serve God. And by means of that, to save your soul. You hear that? You're here to praise God. You're here to reverence God. You're here to serve God. And by means of that, to save your immortal soul. Let me tell you when I live that out in the fullest. Every day. Can happen about an hour. What is the purpose of Mass? Through Him, with Him, in Him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever.
Amen.
That's pretty anemic. Okay. I live out principle and foundation when I celebrate Mass. Because there's a creation between heaven and earth. Heaven comes down from heaven in my hands, and heaven enters into my heart every time I receive the Eucharist. And you too. So that's living out PNF to the fullest. And also what's going to happen is the more you go deep in your holy hour, the better your communions. You're going to notice it.
Yeah.
You notice that?
Yes.
Your communions become much more efficacious, powerful. Christ becomes real.
Mm-hmm. It is. Yeah.
You look forward, but it becomes real. Yeah. It's not simply peace of bread. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It's really Him. It's really Him. He comes in and He takes possession of your heart because you allow Him to take possession of you. No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. There's a transformation. I use this by means of analogy. Every time you receive Holy Communion, there is a heart transplant. Amen?
Amen.
That Sacred Heart is united with your heart. You have the Sacred Heart of Jesus beating within your heart. Burning furnace of charity. And this is, I'm not speaking metaphorically, this is really happening. Mm-hmm. It's not a symbol, we're not Protestants, it's a reality. So we're here in this life, we're here to praise God, to pay Him reverence. We've got to serve Him in others. And by means of that, to save our soul. Your soul is worth more than the whole universe. Because you're redeemed not by the blood of calves or heifers. You're not bought back by blood, by gold and silver. You're saved by the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
And saved by the precious blood of Christ that He shed for you on Calvary on Good Friday. So everything, all of your decisions, your thought process, your decisions, and your actions are going to be motivated by Prince One Foundation. You got children, okay? Is this going to help my three children to get to heaven? I'm not going to do it. Maybe you got some grandchildren. Is this going to help my grandchildren to get to heaven? Not going to do it. I got one of my son and daughter, they're going to be going to college. Okay, well, this daughter, she's a 4.0. Hey, she's already gotten into Harvard, Princeton, Yale, and Dartmouth. They're called the big guns on the East Coast, the Ivy League ones, no? Mm-hmm. Cornell, no? Mm-hmm. UPenn, the biggie, huh? Well, maybe after 4 years they lose their faith. Then they lose their soul. Go to Cal State Long Beach. Better. Really, I mean, it's closer. It's not as prestigious as Harvard or Yale or Princeton. No offense to you Californians, no? But better that than to lose your soul. Mm-hmm. This is Prince One Foundation. Your daughter's going to marry this guy. Hey, he's a millionaire. Mm-hmm. But he's an atheist.
Oh, boy.
Better marry someone that's, you know, is graduated from college, kind of struggling through life, but a practicing Catholic, than someone that doesn't believe in God. See, if you really take these exercises seriously, it changes your whole way of thinking and seeing and acting.
Yes, it does.
Right?
Yes, it does, Father.
And directed to save souls. It's really beautiful, you think about it.
It is.
It's radically different than the way people today, they just follow their feelings, no?
Mm-hmm.
If it feels good, just do it. No, you have to be motivated by John Paul II, fides ratio, faith and reason, okay? Faith, yes, faith and reason. The exercises teaches us to have faith by prayer. We've got to use our mind, too. Then the second part of Prince One Foundation is called the law of tantum quantum, to use all of creation properly. Because everything in creation is good, but we can either use it or we can abuse it. Yep. We can either use it or abuse it. Everything is good. God created all good, but why do you have bad things? Because we abuse creation. And probably the biggest abuse is that of human sexuality. There's nothing wrong with it, otherwise we wouldn't be here. Nothing wrong with it. But if you abuse it, Father Benedict Rochelle says, most people carry a cross, not with I-N-R-I on it, but S-E-X. Now think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Abortions, STDs, adultery, homosexuality, all these, you know, these sins against purity, you pay the consequences. And there's nothing wrong with sex, but there's a wrong if you're abusing it.
Sure.
You can apply this to anything, but that's so obvious to me. But something as simple as, you know, you overeat, you know? You know, you're going to pay the consequences, no? What the doctors say, diabetes, high blood pressure. You know, in Argentina they say, "Hay más en el cementerio por la gula que por la guerra." Mm-hmm. There are more in Argentina. There are more people in the cemetery for gluttony than for wars. But it rhymes in Spanish. You don't have good eating habits. You pay the consequence. Nothing wrong with food, but we can abuse it. Now, this is very important. This is somewhat philosophical, but you can apply this to everything in your life. And you look at your life. There are some areas where you're off kilter. You know, you're not in the right path. For that reason, number one, the exercises, Ignatius says, we have to order the disordered. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yes, Father.
We have to order the disorder. We all have disorders in our life. El perezoso trabaja doble. It's true. Yeah. Our Lady of Guadalupe, she ordered the roses. Right, Rosa? Right, Rosa? They ordered the roses. We want to ask Mary to order our life through these exercises. The last point of principle and foundation is called holy indifference. And it's not indifference in American English. Indifference means apathy or que me importa, no? Or the young generation says the whatever generation. Okay? Whatever, que me importa. But rather, holy indifference is total openness to God. You don't prefer a long life to a short life. You don't prefer health over sickness. You don't prefer riches over poverty. You don't prefer honors over humiliations. But you choose what is most conducive to the end for which we're created, which is the honor and glory of God and the salvation of our souls. There you have principle and foundation. So, starting today, I'm going to be offering a novena for all of you people. Say thank you, Father. Okay. So 9 days, every time I say Mass, I'll be placing you on the altar so that all of you will really be generous with God and all of you will become great saints. Amen, and God bless you. Okay.
Thou art before me and behind, and thou hast broke my heart and mind. Upon me thou hast laid thy hand. O Lord, how could I understand?
Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
We want to help others, especially in places of strife, such as the Holy Land, where Christianity is dwindling by the day. But how to help? Here's an easy way. Buying products through the Holy Land gift shop. Every product you purchase at myfranciscan.org/shop helps Christians support their families and stay in the Holy Land. Olive wood, embroidery, spices, and many more authentic products from the Holy Land are available right now at myfranciscan.org/shop. The Holy Land Gift Shop, bringing the Holy Land home.
I learned how many people we could help and how good you feel after you've helped others.
I know Lent is about giving, so I want to give.
These kids are talking about CRS Rice Bowl, a Lenten program known by generations of Catholic families. Children love it because they experience different cultures and gain a lasting impression of the people they are helping. You can bring CRS Rice Bowl into your home and experience the joy of seeing your children or grandchildren find new meaning in Lent. Visit crsricebowl.org to get started.
Rice Bowl inspired me to pray more and to pray for those who are less fortunate.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.